Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and this week I am welcoming visibility expert Nancy Marmoleo. Nancy is an award-winning business owner who helps entrepreneurs stand out, get noticed, and get more business by positioning themselves as sought-after, recognized experts, and that's so important. Since 2003, she has blended a knack for promotion with a highly creative mindset, and that results in huge payoffs for her clients. So with over 100 media credits to her name and numerous business achievement awards, Nancy is a respected expert with a loyal following from around the globe, not just here, from around the globe. And using her signature profitable essence and spotlight you systems, Nancy's clients learn how to stand out in their fields, attract clients, referrals, media spots, speaking engagements, and so much more. Her approach is a blend of expert strategy, intuitive insights, and I love this, high-octane creativity. We're going to get along just fine. So good morning, Nancy, and welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks, Denise. It's good. Yeah, the high-octane creativity, we're working on a sustainable, eco-friendly version of that. So it's going to be off the grid and highly powerful at the same time. So, yes.
Nice.
You are certainly a kindred spirit, and I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun. I have so many questions for you. But before we get started, and before I just kind of pelt you with questions, can you tell our audience just a little bit about who you are and how you got started doing what you're doing?
Yeah, it's an interesting journey. And I think what happens is if you ever have to stop and just look back on life and retrace your steps, when people ask you, how'd you get in business, sometimes you have to start in kindergarten because life takes us one step to the next. I grew up in a family business. And it was pretty, I would say, eclectic and eccentric at the same time. My dad was the owner of a flea market. He had always worked for himself. And at one time, he owned a little variety store, which was really fun. I used to think that all the toys on the shelf were specifically for me, but then I found out they were not. And they opened up this flea market. Now, this is back in the day before eBay, but what was really cool about it, I mean, brilliant business idea. Every weekend, people would come by and they'd rent like basically a parking spot. You'd back in your station wagon, flip down the tailgate, maybe spread a blanket out on the ground or pop up a card table, and you put your junk out there and sell it.
And we have one like that here.
I love it. I mean, it's just better than eBay. But what was so cool about it is that it gave an opportunity for just everyday people to be their own business owners, to have their own thing. And people would come religiously either as fleas, who were the sellers, or just the buyers. And it was a hangout. It was a social hub. It was a curiosity shop. It was like a little cross between, if you remember that show Northern Exposure, kind of how eccentric everybody was there. And mm-hmm. Little Miss Sunshine. So you had a little, it's kind of like entrepreneurial, slightly raunchy, and always fun. So I grew up in that.
That sounds fun. Look, I love flea markets. My first home was, and I still have many of the pieces that I found in garage sales and flea markets. My first home was furnished with, you know, flea markets and early matrimony. It was junk, most of it. And a lot of it I still have because now it's really cool junk. Now it's antique
or
collectible.
But, yeah.
You know, back in the day, it was like, what are you putting that in your house for? Because I like it.
Right.
And I can afford it.
You, you dress it up with a name like mid-century.
Right.
It was old. We found it in somebody's grandmother's garage. But it's all good. It's all good. So,
right. So
growing up around that was really cool because I had this great, great exposure to people who were, it was just branding was done, by the nicknames that people got, the guy with the eye patch and the black cowboy hat, you know, and there were all these crazy names for people. There was Jack the Bookie. Well, we kind of knew what he did for a living. There was Katie the Bread Lady. She sold bread. There was, all these different characters. I mean, and they all had their own, Pam the Wig Girl. That was a funny one. Everybody had like their little monikers, and their monikers went along with this personal brand that they created. And so people say, gee, where'd you learn about branding? And I said, well, let me tell you about the flea market and how, you know, you create this, you gather all the best of you and you make sure that that's what you're projecting. And it worked then and it works now. And when people talk about branding, I mean, really, that's what it is. We're just scooping up all the best of us and letting people see that, letting that communicate the value. And, you know, as far as online visibility is concerned, I work with people a lot on pulling together the best of them and presenting that to the world so people are crystal clear on who they are, what they do, how they help others, and the results they can expect from them.
Nice.
Kind of continuing on after that, because when you ask me how I got started, it's going to take us probably the first 20 minutes of the show here today, so I'll promise I'll get into some strategy. After college, I became a teacher, and I was working in an inner city schools. And my specialty was working with those kids who were falling through the cracks. I'm a Spanish speaker. I worked with a lot of kids who had very low literacy levels, both in English and in Spanish. And a lot of them, the system was just ready to write them off, and I wasn't ready to do that. I worked with little kids. I worked with teenagers. I even taught English to farm workers out in the wine country of Northern California. I was always wanting to just find the potential in people who everybody else is looking, going, oh, I'm not really sure if that person's really worth all that much. No, you know what? Everybody is valuable. Everybody brings skills. And being able to unlock those skills and reflect it back to people, it changed lives. I had kids from all over the world in my ESL classes, my English as a Second Language classes that I was also teaching. And, we had 24 different languages in one classroom. And I used to teach them about, I really wanted them to have an idea of what life was like in the U.S. And this is how we, it's not just here's how to speak English and here's a flashcard of a cat and a dog. I was driving to work one day and there was a hospital where some of the workers were on strike. And I drove past and they had picket signs and drums and music and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. So I looked at my students and they were like level one ESL. I mean, they were fresh, no, very little English, but from all over the world. We had at that time kids from Bosnia, kids from Iraq, kids from China, all over Latin America. And I pantomimed kind of, what was going on down the street. And I said, I want to take you guys down the street to check something out. So the principal gave me permission, and we took the kids down the street to this picket line. And it was extraordinary what was going on because, first of all, I turned around and a bunch of my boys, they were at the coffee and donuts table. And there was this little girl from Iraq, actually not a little girl, a teenager. And this is in the late 90s, okay? So I looked over at her. Next thing I know, she is holding a picket sign and just walking around, and she had this look on her face that was just like, it gives me chills to think about it. And these other kids who came from these countries where you had no voice, you could not protest. And they didn't know what they were supporting, but they just knew that in their country they couldn't do this. And when we came back to the classroom, we debriefed, and I said, what was that experience like for you? And suddenly everybody's talking. That's how I taught English. I just found these experiences that people could have, and then they started to express themselves. And when you start to find out, like what you can do and what you can't do and what you can say and what you can't say around the world, that gave them the best civics lesson that they'll ever have, as mm-hmm. well as vocabulary, as well as understanding things about the work world. It was extraordinary.
And it makes sense to me, too, because the brain works in very mysterious ways, and the brain will often give you a stop sign because you've already told yourself, well, I can't do this, I don't understand it, and you've convinced yourself. But when something happens in an extraordinary event like this, and all of a sudden that stop sign has just been kicked over to the, you know, by a truck just mowed it down for you. All
exactly.
of a sudden things that you didn't know you knew stop, you know, they just pop up, they bubble up, and it's amazing. I've had this happen all of my life, saying, well, where in the world did that come from? And it's great. It's a wonderful process to witness and be a part of.
It really is. And so, you know, this is the long answer to your short question, how'd you get started in business? All of those things carry with me into business. I don't get paid by the school district anymore to see the greatness in somebody else and reflect it back to them. The client pays me, and I mean, mm-hmm. I'm still getting paid to do the same thing. I'm just doing it in a different context, and I don't have to wait for the bell to ring before I get to take a break. So there's some good parts to that. But it's really the same thing. So I took that flea market background, which was all about just seat of your pants, quick thinking, jump on the opportunity, find the opportunity. I mean, it was real just, you know, bold. And then the teaching part really developed, I think, a sensitivity in me and a love of people and a love of mankind and just an honoring of every person, you know, just seeing, you know, I love that saying, you know, to see the God in each other. And, you know, it helps me to see greatness in somebody and say, you know what, you have that kernel of greatness inside of you. Let's shine a light on it. Let's make it grow. Let's do something with it, because I don't think it was put there by accident. It wasn't meant to just sit there. Let's get it out there. So that's, you know, from a mission standpoint, that's really where I am in my business. And so the business is all about getting that essence out there to the world, you know, developing it, putting it out there, giving it a name, turning it into a business, turning it into a solution. And that's really where people, you know, that phrase, you know, make money doing what you love, mm-hmm. that's really what it's all about for me, is that's, to me, that's how you make money doing what you love.
No kidding. I have a question, though. How did you go from being part of a school system to being an entrepreneur?
Oh,
that's a big jump.
That is. Thank you for asking that. I conveniently left that one out. I didn't mean to.
I wasn't going to let you.
I became a mom. I became a mom. I have a beautiful daughter who's now 9 years old, and when she was born, I looked at her and I said, there is no way I'm leaving this little beauty. I'm going to figure out how to start my own business. I'm going to stay with her at home, and I had absolutely no plan, no idea. I went AWOL, actually. The school district called me one day and said, do you realize you're supposed to be in your classroom right now? Your maternity leave is over. I said, you better call a sub.
So you had a dream but no plan.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I just figured, okay, look at what I have in my background. I'm sure I can figure something out. And I started, you know, first thing I did is I learned about websites. I sat there with my baby strapped to my chest in a little sling, and I learned about websites. And when I was pregnant, I took a class in HTML, which was hysterical because I'm not a techie person. But those things have actually been very good things to know. I don't love technical anything, but I at least can you know, fake my way around a website mm-hmm. a little bit if I need to go in the back end. And a friend of mine said, well, you know, what, you're really mellow, you're a really good listener. Maybe there's some kind of a business you can create that helps people with that. And I discovered coaching, and I started coaching people for free. I started coaching people for like $20 a month, and I felt bad for taking their money. Oh, I was horrific in my pricing, but I figured, you know what, I got to figure this thing out. So, you know, let me do that. And What I discovered is I had a real knack for helping people around their businesses who needed some kind of a creative idea to position their business so it didn't just blend in with the rest of everybody. So I started my business, and doing that, I had a lot of mostly women business owners who had startup ideas, and then over the years it's moved and morphed into various things. But for the most part, it's really about just helping a business find out what's their unique voice, making sure that that is front and center in their marketing, make sure that's front and center in their offers, and then building a strong revenue plan around that and a visibility strategy. And it's been a glorious ride ever since.
I bet. I mean, it sounds like it's absolutely fascinating. One thing that I really want for our audience to take away is that you can make that leap from either corporation, whether you're a corporate worker, whether you're working in a Dunkin' Donuts, wherever it is that you're working. If you really have something that you're so passionate about and you know the world needs, you can make that leap.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just best to find people to help you do it. It's tough to do it on your own. One thing that entrepreneurs do, and I don't know if this happened to you as well, one thing that we do once we get in that entrepreneurial mindset, although I think, like you, I always had it, I don't think that it was something I just kind of stumbled across. It was always there. Part of it is that let me back up a little bit. I chronically get lost, and I get lost because I fight with my nav system, because she will tell me to turn left or turn right, and my instant response is, you're not the boss of me. So I'm an entrepreneur. I have to be. I don't play well with others. But there are a lot of people who say, man, I've got this great, great idea, but can I quit my job? Can I make that leap? I mean, you can paralyze yourself thinking about the what ifs. So how do you help people with that?
How do you help them? Sorry, I got some static on my line right on that last thing that you said. Sorry.
When people come to you and say, Nancy, I've got this great idea, I don't know that it's time to leave my job, and sometimes it's probably not. But what happens when they have paralyzed themselves with just going, oh, God, oh, God? You know, I can't replace my income. I don't know if I can do this. I can't do it on my own. I'm listening to other voices. Do you get that a lot from people? Do they just kind of almost talk themselves out of their own brilliance?
That is true. I think I got more of that at the beginning of my business. I had more people who were in the startup phase. Mm-hmm. And, those are tough questions to deal with. I don't want to tell somebody to do exactly what I did, because I'm a risk taker. I mean, mm-hmm. I grew up at a flea market. Come on. my dad played the horses. You know, he wasn't a saint, but I sure learned a lot of great stuff from him. And a lot of it had to do with, hey, you know what? No guts, no glory. And I burned my bridges. I went for it. I took the big leap. I took a big risk. And it could have flopped, and it didn't, but failure is not an option over here.
Yeah,
not everybody has that kind of fortitude, so I'm not going to tell people, hey, do what I did exactly, just, you know, quit your job and go start a business with absolutely no plan.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, I tend to work with businesses who are a little more established, so I don't feel that responsibility, like, oh my God, please do not put your family in peril.
But right.
I think it takes, you really have to map out the resources and figure out, first of all, do you have the ability to handle risk? Can you move forward and take action when you don't really know what it looks like ahead of you, but you're just taking a educated guess that, like, oh, well, it seems like it's going to be this way. You have to be able to be the first person going down that jungle path, and, you know, you're holding a machete and chopping down the jungle. You don't know what's ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to promise you that you're not going to stumble, and nobody can promise you that what's going to happen. And so you have to be able to say, okay, I understand that. I'm moving forward anyhow. I own this. And I think that's probably the biggest setback for people, especially if they might be transitioning from the corporate world, because you're nested in security. You know exactly how much money you're going to get each month when that paycheck comes in.
Right.
You know exactly how much money you're going to put into your 401k because you've got it all set it up and it's automated and you can automate everything. And there's no question around how much money is going to come in. When you start a business, that's now part of your past because there's some months you might make a whole bunch. There's some months you might make less. It's very hard to predict. That is unnerving. And some people start a business and they can't handle that. They need that regular amount of money coming in every month. That's what they were used to. They're not willing to take that risk. So, you know, there's ways that you can guarantee that you have that money. Maybe you've got some things saved. Maybe you've, you know, planned a certain way. But it's just that tolerance for risk. Can you handle the pressure?
Right.
That's where the rubber hits the road. And I think that's what separates a person who's really, truly an entrepreneur from a person who has an idea and is thinking of dabbling in it, but they're not willing to take that risk. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's just different. It's just a different chemistry.
It is. We have cast iron stomachs. And I love what you said about failure is not an option, you know. That wasn't that the Apollo 13 mission where Gene Kranz said that failure is not an option? It's not. And what we do, or what I do, and the other entrepreneurs that I know, we look at a failure and we go, or we look at an obstacle, and we look at it as it's not really an obstacle. We go over it, we go around it, we go under it, we blow it up. It just doesn't really get in our way. Or it may, you know, just say, okay, well, that didn't work. Let me try something different. So we're always on a road, we're always on a path, and we're always doing something that is just a little bit out of the box, I guess. But I think that's just the way our minds are wired. It just doesn't occur to us that what we just did is going to be a monumental failure, because it's not. It may not work out as well as we thought, but then again, it may give us the nucleus of an idea for something better.
Exactly. And it also points your focus on where you should be focusing. So, for example, so my work is all about helping businesses get more visibility, and then particularly businesses that have a figurehead, like a solo entrepreneur, who that person is the business. Their expertise is really the center point of that business, and so we want more people to know about them as an expert. I want more people to know about them as a business. And the first thing that somebody might say is, oh, but wait, there's like 100 other people doing the exact same thing. And for... you know, you look at the competition, and that's a really good reason. You better not go into that because everybody's doing it. I say, what are you talking about? You like it? Yeah. Is it your calling? Yeah. Well, then go. We just find another way to get attention for you.
Right.
And so, what I do with people is really show them. Look, we're gonna get you so fine tuned that competition isn't going to even exist anymore, because we're going to be so specific about, you know, who you are and what you do and who you help and the results people get from working with you, that nobody will be able to confuse you. It's so funny because I know I have a colleague whose name is also Nancy, who also works around visibility, and she and I bat ideas back and forth with each other all the time, because we're even both tall with brown hair. I mean, you could say we're just the carbon copy of each other, but we're not, because, you know, we each fine-tune our messages to the point where there's no confusion there. So you can walk into a room of 100 other people who do what you do and never have a worry in the world. And that's one of the big worries that keeps people from advancing in their business, is they get psyched out by the competition. So
absolutely.
I can prove to you that there is no boogeyman in the closet. And if there is a boogeyman in the closet, we're going to get him out and we're going to, you know, play with them and have fun and dance with them, make them our friend.
Right, exactly. And, you know, one of the greatest examples of what you just pointed out is that, you know who Larry Winkett is and Bob Berg, you know who these guys are?
Yes.
I think most people do. They are poles apart in personality, absolutely poles apart in personality, the way they present things. But when you listen to them, they're pretty much giving you the same message, just a different delivery.
Yeah.
And Larry Winkett, I've heard him say it numerous times. You know, he will make that comparison. I'm not making it up by myself. He's the one that made made it up originally, but when you listen to them and you realize that they are saying pretty much the same thing. You know, they're talking about the same goals and principles and, you know, kind of the rules of life that make you successful. It's just a completely different means of delivery. And they're both fabulous. I love to listen to both of them.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really, that's precisely it. When you've positioned yourself, you fine-tuned your message, and there are people, everybody needs to hear that advice, but we all want to hear it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was learning how to be a teacher and teacher training, I remember this one math professor, she said, she just sat there and looked at us, she goes, "There's nothing new under the sun." She said, "You're going to teach, I mean, you know, 1 + 1 hasn't changed. What you need to change is the way you teach it. Don't worry so much about the fact that somebody's already done this or it already exists. You can always put your own fresh spin on things." And that's what I love. I absolutely love that. I see a lot of people coming out with some great brands that are teaching. I mean, you look at it going, well, that's not rocket science, but it's their personality. It's their message. Rachel Ray versus Martha Stewart. You know, it's
right.
Just like the two people that you just mentioned. I mean, it's stuff for the same purpose. It's just coming out in a different voice, and that is to be celebrated in each person. And you know, that's what I really want to help. I mean, I'd love to give some tips so your listeners can, you know, to put some of this into action, because
please. Yeah.
Everybody can do it.
Well, I know you built an entire business around helping entrepreneurs get more visibility. So if you've got some tips, I would love to hear them.
Oh, I do have tips. And, you know, and I think what we've mentioned is, you know, this is important because visibility, I just want to define my version of visibility. So, see, I'm such a contrarian. I even have my own definition of visibility. To me, there's some people who, when you talk to them about visibility, we need more visibility, we need more visibility, and they just want to plaster the world with their name. And to them, that's visibility. Well, for somebody who is, let's say, a small business owner, or you have a niche market, plastering your name everywhere isn't really going to do anything, because a lot of people who don't necessarily need you or want you or get you, they're going to see your name and your message, but there's not going to be any connection.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm looking at visibility, I'm talking about the people who need you and want you and have to see you. They're going to see you. We're going to dim the lights down on everybody else and shine that spotlight on you for those ideal clients that want you, that are going to buy from you. You don't have to be Oprah. You don't have to be, like, super famous. You don't have to go on TV. You don't have to have, like, bodyguards and hold your hand up when the paparazzi runs after you. That's not visibility. Visibility is just being the top-of-mind solution for the people who need what you have. And that could be a tiny little niche market, or it could be a big gargantuan market. You get to write the rules, and you get to define what visibility means for you. So I think that's something to celebrate, because a lot of people freak out when, oh, my God, visibility, everybody's going to see me. They're going to see my flaws. They're going to tear me apart. I just want to stay hidden and work with these three people who pay me peanuts, but at least I'll be happy.
I'm safe. Well, yeah.
Yeah, and safe. So, you know, first of all, I'm going to calm your fears and just remind everybody, you get to define what it is. So that's the first part. Is I'm also, you know, I'm a mom, so I'm always having to remind my daughter, like if she's going into some kind of a new situation, oh, I'm scared, I don't want to do it. You know, you have to kind of reason things out with people and say, look, let's talk about what's really going to happen, and you know, put things down into bring things down to earth. So let me. I want to actually share with you guys three action steps that you can take. And what I've done is, through the years, I've been doing this for a long time now. And you know, at one time I had, like, you know, 12 steps, and then I went to 10 steps, and then I had 7 steps. And I think I'm getting smarter because I keep simplifying things more and more and collapsing it down. And I realize that we've got so much information swirling around our heads. Honest to God, for me, anything above the number 4, I cannot remember the steps. If somebody gives me their 5-step system, I'm like, gosh, I can remember the first 4, but I don't remember what else you told me.
Right.
I've got PIN numbers swirling in my head, cell numbers, passwords, you name it. So I like to keep it simple, and I've got 3 steps. So I think that's going to...
I can handle 3, so that's perfect.
3 is easy. Yeah, if you can count it on one hand, you're good. Okay, so number 1... All right, now this, I have clients who have brick and mortar businesses. I have clients who are consultants. Most of my clients are consultants. However, I just want to let everybody know these are the types of things that can be applied to any kind of business. So the first thing that is absolutely essential is that you have to claim your expertise. You have to claim your expertise. And what's very interesting about this is that your whole business is built around an expertise, because your expertise is your ability to expertly solve a problem that other people don't know how to solve. If you're a plumber, your expertise is in plumbing. If
Right.
you are a financial consultant, your expertise is in financial consulting. And if I knew how to do it for myself, I would, but I don't, so I go to you to do it. I am relying on somebody's expertise. I will pay you to do something for me that I don't know how to do for myself or I don't want to do for myself. And I know you could probably do it better because you do this for a living.
Right, right. Here's the thing, too. There's so many things that we can do for ourselves, but honestly, should we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that I can do. You know, in my 2 industries, I can build websites, I can launch products, I can do the social media. I can do it all, but should I be doing the $10-$20 an hour stuff when my rates are considerably higher? So I have a team to take care of a lot of I'm not going to call it lower end stuff, but things that are less technical that I really should not be paying attention to.
Exactly. And so somebody, I get a lot of people who are consultants who are able to do some of the technical work, but really their expertise is in the high-level strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you ask them, well, what's your expertise, and they start rattling off all these technical things, I said, well, yes, those are some skills that you've acquired, but what's really your expertise? And taking people to that higher level, what is the problem that you solve? That is so important. And what happens is that a lot of people will not claim that expertise because they somehow feel that they don't have the right to claim it.
Really?
Because maybe they were mentored by somebody who that person's the top dog, and they feel, oh, I shouldn't say that because then I'll be disrespecting the person who taught me everything I know.
Huh.
And it's like,
I don't get that.
Well, it happens. It happens a lot. Or there might be somebody who says, yes, but so-and-so is so famous in this field for doing that. Who am I to step into that ring?
Wow. My brain doesn't work like that, I have to say.
You are probably in the minority.
I must be, but, I'm fairly pig-headed, so that may be part of it.
Well,
that's a technical term. I'm pig-headed.
The other part about claiming your expertise, there's a couple of different parts of it. For some people, it's a mindset piece. It's a feeling of, oh, my gosh, who am I to call myself that? I don't deserve to call myself that. And for other people, and this comes up a lot with people who contact me, is they do a lot of things, they know a lot of things, but they don't know how to narrow it down.
Mm.
They're so distracted by knowing so much that they lose sight of what truly are their natural strengths and what are just some things they know how to do well, but they may or may not be things that they're passionate about.
Oh, so you help them kind of work through what their skill sets are as well as their hard and soft skills.
Exactly. And
right.
I'm glad that you phrased it that way, because I actually do that with my clients, where we outline their natural strengths versus the things that they've learned, and then we look and see, well, of those things, you know, what do you do best? What are you most passionate about? You know, and also dividing up the hard skills and the soft skills. That's very, very important, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when
I agree.
It comes to positioning yourself. Because your
Can
hard
you expand
skills,
on that a little bit?
Yeah, your hard
you
skills, those
ahead.
Are the things that people are going
to
buy from you. Those are the tech, you know, the actual thing, the result. But the soft skills, things like, so a hard skill would be, let's say you know how to do WordPress. Or, you know, you know mm-hmm. how to put up a website, or you know how to create a revenue plan. The soft skills are the things that are more intangible, interpersonal skills, communication skills, more personality-driven. So maybe you help people create a revenue plan, but you have a certain style. You might be very out-of-the-box thinking wise, or you might be somebody who is just however your personality comes out. I've had people include things that include their faith, their mission, their personality style, quirkiness, mm-hmm. all these different things that round it out, and suddenly it's not just a person who can help you with your revenue, but it's this very interesting person who can help you with your revenue. And that's where the Larry and Bob, is it the other guy's Bob, right?
Bob Berg, uh-huh.
Bob,
author
yes.
of The
that's
Go-Giver.
Larry and Bob differ because they can both be providing the same information, but it's really that soft skill in them. It's that personality piece
mm-hmm.
that differentiates them more than anything. So it's important to include that.
I think it is, too, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because so many people will say, and this touches on something you said earlier as well, somebody will say, oh, you know, I can't do that because so-and-so is already doing it and I don't want to copy her. Well, you're not. You are you. Your audience is your audience. You know, somebody may come to me just because they like my personality or they like the websites that I put up with, and they may go to a competitor because they like the way that person works better. It's of no moment to me. I would love to work with you, but if you're more comfortable with somebody else, I'll help you work with that person. You know, I'll set you up with an introduction if that's what it takes. There is no real competition. When you are doing what you do best, there's no real competition.
Very true. Very true. Now, I have a little exercise I take people through, and I don't have time to take everybody through it, but I'll give you guys a resource at some point that people can go and walk through it. But it's basically four steps that show you how to identify and claim and own your expertise. Really going into finding the language and the logic as well as the soft skills. So that's something that I found helps people enormously, especially those folks who keep saying, you know, I'm just good at a lot of things. So it's like, oh, great, let me go to your website. And I look at their website, and it's like, hi, I'm Joe, and I'm really good at a lot of things. I mean, you just have to be able to get specific, because if you're too general, everybody's just going to go right by you.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why it's really important
so
to claim your expertise, because you have to give people something. This is what I want you to pay attention to. You have to tell people, look here, this is what I am helping you with. If it's just a real broad, you know, all over the board kind of solution, then you're not going to, you know, people are just going to walk right by and go, oh, that's nice, and they just keep
mm-hmm.
going.
Yeah, and I, as a web developer, I preach this all the time. You know, I build websites all day, every day. I build them in my sleep. Now, it's a very sad life. I actually, and this is pathetic, you mentioned HTML earlier. I actually had a dream not too long ago, and I posted this on Facebook, and I woke up realizing that in my dream, I was actually calculating the space and writing. I had determined that I was the object in the middle of a table. I was padding the table in HTML to make sure that this object stayed in the center of the bed. I was about to fall out of bed. And my mind translated that into HTML. It was pathetic. I just sat there for a while.
All the geeks are going, I had that dream too.
I get it. I know. I know. You know, I did find out that I wasn't the only one that does this, which was, you know, good. But the thing is that, you know, people need to understand that, and, well, let me go back to my, I lost my thought there. I tell this to people all the time. When you're building a website, it's not about you. And they're instantly like, well, what do you mean? But I do all this great stuff. It's not about you. When a person lands there, they want to know what's in it for them. What can you do for them?
Exactly.
What is the answer to their problem or their question? What solution do you have? And that's a hard thing for people to get past. They're like, are you sure? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly. And I found that to be really evident with people who are in some kind of a service profession with consulting, simply because they, you know, they keep saying, well, I can help you with all kinds of stuff. So,
right.
You know, when you claim your expertise and you go through the various steps that I take people through, you get really specific on those results. And I really take it from a combination. I go start you off more kind of conceptual, like let's get creative and think about these things, and then we hop over to the left brain and we start putting things into place going, okay, now here's the action steps on how to make it happen. So outlining, you know, what is your expertise, getting crystal clear on it, focusing on results, essential. That is the bedrock of everything right there. So that, I would say, is the first of the three action steps that people need to take. Is you absolutely have to claim your expertise and look at all of the obstacles in your way that are preventing you from claiming your expertise in a way that's attracting more business. So you want to, you know, remove the mental blocks, and then you also want to remove anything that's confusing, whether you're giving out too much information, too many messages, or you're just not clear. So we get to that part, and then we're able to hop over to the second part, the second step. And that is to infuse all of this into your marketing. You need to say it to the world. You need to let people know who you are, what you do, how you do it, who you do it with and or for, and what are some of the results that people get from this. If you can just stay on that track, you're home free. And one of the problems that people do is when I tell them, it's like, okay, go, you know, go write an about me page or go talk about yourself and your business. Oh, you know, we're sitting there for 20 minutes and they're telling us, well, I had a puppy when I was in second grade. You know, we still haven't gotten to the part where we're helping people.
I know, it's hard to do. I struggle with that myself. And I know better, but it's tough to do.
Well, it's, you know, we have to remember when we're talking about our business and talking about ourselves, there is a balance in how much personal, how much professional, what do you lead with? Is there an order that you should go talk about yourself in? So really, talking about your business happens in a lot of different ways. And when you're talking about your business, it has to be infused with that message that you are an expert who solves a problem and that you've got these warm personal touch points that just make you really interesting. So, for example, talking about your business can be as literal as standing in front of somebody and actually talking about your business at the networking events, or if you're at a seminar or something and somebody says, so, what do you do? Who are you? Talking about your business is also your about me on Facebook. Talking about your business is that very generous, what is it, 160 characters Twitter gives you for your bio. You know, you get 20 extra characters because they're just, you know, so generous over there. So you get to write about yourself in 160 characters. How are you going to communicate that?
That does help you fine-tune your message, though,
doesn't it? Does it ever. Twitter was probably the best thing for helping us all just get to the point.
Right.
You also get to talk about your business in 3 minutes, in an hour, and somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
All, you could talk about your business and the kinds of products, offers, in your blog, your content that you create, all of these are ways that you talk about your business. So looking at that, how do you infuse that? Make sure you're telling people who you are, what you do, who you work with, how you help them, and what are the results people get.
And be consistent with it. I think that's very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'll see some marketers that, you know, all of a sudden they're one thing and then, and you're paying attention, kind of, you know, because here's the thing. When people need you when they need you, they need to be aware of you. They need to always be kind of seeing you out of the corner of their eye. They need to know what you're up to. They need to follow along a little bit. But when they need you, you're going to pop into their head. That's just kind of the way marketing works. If your message has been on point and your message, you know, appeals to them or resonates with them, they're going to find you again. But, and it may take a long time. I've had clients that, you know, said, man, I've been watching you for 5 years. Oh, hi.
Are you a stalker?
Wow. Glad to meet you. But, you know, it works. It does work. If you're out there and you're chatting and you're a resource and you're being of service to other people, you know, that's just the way it works. It does come back, and it comes back in a good way. But I've seen marketers that all of a sudden they're one thing, and then 4 years later, there's something completely different. And I'm like, what the heck? You didn't even make a transition. You just went from here to there. What the heck happened here? And I always feel a little bit betrayed, which is silly, but I do.
That's a really interesting observation.
I thought it was just me being cranky.
You know, when you said you feel betrayed, because that is the people will think in their head there's something that's not cool here. But you just gave it a name.
Kosher.
You just said betrayal. That's a very good insight.
Is it? Because I really thought, okay, you know, Denise, you're kind of mean today. Just leave it alone.
No.
But honestly, I just don't feel right about what they do. They're just here and then over here. It feels like a bad marketing ploy to me.
You know,
and I don't like it.
I'm grabbing a pen right now. I'm actually writing a note. You just gave me a blog post idea. See, this is the other part of it.
Right.
Finding the teachable moment. This is back from my teaching background. You hear something. So that's like a brand betrayal. And what you just said is very, very common. Now, you said every 4 years, and that's, we must hang in different circles, because I know some people, it's every 4 months. They're the queen and the such and such diva and the JoJo King.
I must not be watching them.
And here's what happens. That's a result of people not knowing how to claim their expertise. I grab them, I put them through my process, and I say, look, if you just took 20 minutes to go through this, or if you just, like, come and have a consultation with me, or join one of my classes or something, you could have solved this problem. We could have prevented that whole branding catastrophe that happened when you became the blah, blah, blah queen or the such and such coach or
the
so-and-so
guru.
King.
Yeah. Right.
And I know people, it's like, I go, hey, how's business? You know, and they, I'm the such and such something or other now. And I go, really? And it's always a little disheartening, because I feel like they're like a pinball machine. They're just bing, 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 pinging all over the place. So, you know, taking people through a process where they can identify their expertise focuses them on the result, and that's that result that you're going to put out there. That's what you're going to say in your marketing. Everything circles around this result. That's where, you know, everybody's talking about, you need a signature program. Well, you don't just get a signature program, like grabbing it out of the air. You have to understand the results that people get from working with you, and you have to be sure that you're focusing on the right results. I'm a bit of a taskmaster at times with my clients, just saying, look, don't just pull out any result. There's strategies that you can use that you can have very hard data that's showing you this is your best bet for your focus for your business. This is your best bet. If you want to talk about, maybe you have five different results that you help people with, here's a way that you can find out which one has the most juice, which is the one that you feel the most passion around, and which is the one that people are desperately seeking a solution for. There's I think a lot of people who rebrand constantly are just working in a vacuum, or they've been given the wrong kind of advice.
Just going to say, they've been given some crummy advice.
Well, yeah, I don't want to.
I mean, you know, they walk around, and I hear this from my own clients sometimes. I call it shiny object syndrome. And I've had one or two clients that literally it became my job to to pull them back from the precipice all the time, and it wears you out, wears them out.
It does. It does. You know, and ultimately, the thing is, here's another thing that happens. So I'm talking about claiming your expertise and focusing on the results and making sure that you have everything out there. A lot of people will stop there because it's really fun. It's creation mode. I'm very creative. My clients are very creative. And if we could just get paid for sitting around and making up cool names for programs or writing stuff without ever actually having to sell it.
I'd be rich.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be so rich.
You know, just this get adopted by a billionaire who pays us $100,000 a year just to be ourselves. So until that happens, and if there's any billionaires out there listening, you could gladly adopt me for that price. I would be happy.
And you get 2 for 1. I'm available, too.
Look at that. She could put it out on the web for us. So
yeah, that's right.
So the part where people like get, you know, everybody's like, "Ooh, I'm working on my bio," or, "Oh, I've got my brand perfected. Great, 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 great. That's wonderful." And they think that everything stops there. And then they sit around and go, "Where is everybody? Why I'm, you know, they'll complain, I don't have any business. Oh. Well, what are you selling?" So that's the third step, is that you have to put a value on your expertise and da-da, sell it.
Now we're down to the meat of the matter, because, oh my gosh, and I can't wait to hear what you say about this. In my industry, there are a lot of new VAs coming into the industry because of the economy, because people want to work from home. They want to be able to raise their own children. They want to homeschool. Whatever their reasons are, they're valid. But they're not really ready. They don't have the expertise. They don't have the skills or the training. They don't know how to build a business from the ground up. And, oh, my gosh, I see this all the time. It's like, we'll give you 5 hours for free. I just cringe.
Yeah,
don't
I know.
Don't give away your expertise. So go. I can't wait to hear what you say about this.
Yeah. So number one, stop giving it away. And number two, stop trading.
Yes,
it's very important. Don't barter. Because here's what happens is that you have spent – like, you know, let's say you're working with me and I'm just taking you through these two steps where, you know, you've claimed your expertise and you're just standing on your mountain waving your flag. Yes, this is my expertise. And, you know, we've got your results packaged up in a nice message and we've got this great marketing strategy for you and you are just standing tall, loving it. The minute you start saying, you know, I'll trade it, I'll barter it, I'm going to underprice it, I'm putting it down for low price, you've now cheapened it. Cheapened it to the point where it's devalued your expertise, and you don't look that smart anymore. Your solution is like,
you lose respect.
Yeah, totally lose respect. It's like, oh, if it's that cheap, you know, it must not be very good. Or what happens is that you have things put out that way, and I want to speak specifically. I know you have a lot of virtual assistants who are out there. You cannot afford to devalue your gifts, because you are helping people make tens, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. Your work is fundamental in building the wealth of other people's businesses. Do not forget that. I'm all down with the worker. You know, I took my kids out on strike. You know, so I say don't be the worker bee who gets treated like crap, and you're just grateful that somebody's giving you this low rate.
Yeah,
understand that your clients could not make a dime without your efforts, and you've got to remember that. Value yourself. And don't just raise up a bunch of prices saying, okay, well, Nancy said raise my prices. Deliver. Okay, focus on those
results.
Over-deliver,
too.
Over-deliver. What is your specialty area? What is your gift? If you are a mess with WordPress, do not tell me you'll take care of my WordPress site. But if you're really hot on going after joint ventures or search engine optimization, you come to me and say, I am the best person there is. And when you show me the results that you're able to get and that you've helped people and how this is your specialty area, you know you're going to get the best price for this. So stop giving it away for free. Stop undervaluing it. And you really get, you know, people get stuck in that whole dollar for hours and whatnot.
Yeah.
So provide a solution. Provide a solution. Now, I know a lot of people that don't like to sell. They'll do anything other than sell. I mean, they will chew their arm off if they could just escape having to have a sales conversation. So here are a couple of mistakes that people make when it comes to selling. They have everything listed out on their website. Here's everything I offer. Here's how much it costs. And what happens is that the person who's sitting there looking at it is making a decision all about price.
Yep.
Your value, and, your expertise is no longer around. Now,
no,
I know
they're buying
a
package. They're just looking at a package.
Yeah.
And they don't care what else you can do, how you can be. Look, a virtual assistant, we become your strategic partner. We are helping you run your online business. We're not waiting at the end of our keyboard for instructions. Half the time, our clients don't know what to tell us to do. We have to know how we can help our clients.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and you know, I'm not saying don't list your prices anywhere, because for a lot of people, they want to get a baseline idea of, you know, where are you in the range.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give too much information, people are going to, you know, make that decision based purely on price. If you end up telling somebody, it's like, how can I work with you? Here. And you just click over to my web page or read this PDF. Anything to avoid that conversation is very important, to be able to have that conversation and know how to be able to sell. You have to know how to sell, because selling is what makes people give you the money. Now, the way that you sell is not necessarily just conking somebody over the head with a sales pitch. Your offers can be created in a way that they're focused so clearly on the solution that they pretty much sell themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Your public presence, this is why I love working with people on visibility. Your public presence is selling you every single time you're out there. People come to me and they say, I know I need to work with you. I've been following you and I know I need to work with you. I'm like, who are you? And they're like, you don't know me, but I've been following you, and I just know I need to work with you. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. This stuff is working. So
it does. And do you get people say, look, so-and-so on Facebook said that I really have to speak with you. I have picked up more than a couple websites from people who say, well, this person referred you. I don't even know that person.
Yeah.
I will have to go find that person, locate them on Facebook, contact them, and tell them thank you.
Yeah,
I have no idea why they're referring me, but apparently they like what I do.
I think if you put yourself out there as an approachable, unpretentious expert, that's kind of that's how I roll, Denise. I try to be approachable and unpretentious. I'm not a diva. I could totally pull on the diva thing, but I start cracking up halfway through it because it just doesn't fit. I start wobbling on my stiletto heels and going, oh, give me my sneakers back. This stuff, it's not some holy grail that only a couple of people can find. It's really, this is wisdom for business. You know, I learned it from an early age. It worked then, it works now. But, you know, creating this whole value structure around a solution, so you are the expert, you've claimed your expertise, you know how to say it. Say it in a way that people just drum up a desire for it, and they identify saying, that's the person I want to work with. And then when they connect with you, sell it. Sell it in a way that's easy for them to say yes. Don't complicate it. Don't get all, everything is really confusing. Simple solution. Here's how we do it. Here's how much it costs. Let's do it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Claim it, say it, sell it. Three steps.
I love that.
Claim it, say it, sell it.
I love this. We have 90 seconds. Can you believe?
Can I give a website for people to go to?
So quickly, yes. I was going to ask you, please tell people where they can find you.
Free training. Free training. Claim it, say it, sell it. .com/training. Claim it, say it, sell it. .com/training. And it's a webinar that I taught that will take you through the four steps that you need to identify your expertise. You'll see some case studies. I'll tell a little bit more of my story. You can see flea market pictures. It's pretty funny. and it's going to give you a solution, the first steps, and for some of you it's going to be all three steps. You're going to, like, catch on to this. But go to the free training, take it, use it, download the action guide that goes along with it, and definitely share your success stories with me, because people have been calling me back, contacting me, saying that this has completely changed their lives, changed their businesses, and they realize how much money they were losing by not having these things in place.
Oh, that's wonderful. Where can people find you if they do want to work with you? What website do they go to?
If you want to work directly with me, you can go to talkwithnancy.com, and that's a page I set up where people can share some information with me about working privately with me, and it's also that page, it'll redirect you to a page on my blog, and I can say all those things because you have all these VAs in the audience, so I can say redirects, and they'll know what I'm
That's
talking
right.
about. So a redirect. That would be on my site, so there's a whole bunch of different ways that you can work with me. But a lot of people like to start it. I would say go to claimitsayitsellit.com/training, do the free training, and then I also have some information in there on how you can do some further work with me. Taking it on a deeper dive. But VivaVisibilityBlog.com is my home base. TalkWithNancy.com is a great way to get a hold of me and, find out a little bit more about how we can work together.
Nice. Listen, I would love to invite you back again. I didn't get anywhere near as many questions. I had a bunch, I promise you. I'm looking at my list going, darn it. So please say you'll come back again sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Oh, cool. Well, listen, Nancy, thank you so much for being with me here today. You've given our audience some really, really valuable information, and I appreciate it, and I know they do. So thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Nancy Marmolejo wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Please leave your message after the tone.